chapter tonight. Again, this is the last class. And we'll be thinking about the things that Solomon has written for us and trying to apply them in our lives. Of course, his main attempt and teaching dealt with life under the sun. Life under the sun. In other words, the physical life we have here. And we'll see some of these last chapters, or last chapter at least, that he had makes references to maybe an eternity, maybe judgment after death, and from this eternal God, through the hand of Solomon, writes these things to them at that time. And now here we are 12 centuries later. Okay? Four millenniums later. Okay? That we can glean from this truth that he's written for us. Chapter 12. I know in this chapter 12, the large heading for the first 8 verses. Remember, remember your Creator in your youth. And we talked about that some last time, about in your youth. Use your time valuably. Be responsible in your actions. But enjoy your life. Because that vigor and that exposure to many things that are new to you, the adventures in your life, enjoy that time. Because the storms will come later on, and that your vigor will fail, life will dim, and those sort of things will catch up with you until finally your life is over. And again, everything is perspective. Perspective, enjoy your life, even after your youth. Even after youth, enjoy your life. Because you won't go around twice. So, in the valuable wisdom, we talked briefly in verses 1 through 3 about the arms will get limp and loose and not as strong as they used to be. That the one will tend to stoop in their posture, signifying a weakness. The teeth will have problems in dealing with food and that sort of thing. Then your eyes will dim. So that's the first few verses of this chapter 12. It is truly, truly a something you have no delight in. But again, in perspective, especially for Solomon. You know, he's much older, much, much older now, maybe his last few years. And no doubt he's seen this, and no doubt he's experienced it. He may be experiencing some of these 13 or so illustrations of growing old. So we'll go about those today and think about those things, whether we're in that situation now. We will be in that situation. But again, this is life under the sun. No more chances. No more chances after this life is over to do good works, to love those around you, to consider your ways in this life. Now, in verse 4, chapter 12, and the doors of the street are shut as the sound of the grinding mill is low, and one will arise at the sound of the bird, and all the daughters of song will sing softly. Well, those sort of things are not directly recognized by us. But it seems to me that the doors on the street are shut as the sound of the grinding mill is low. This could mean that when your lips are closed while chewing food, you have trouble keeping it in. Keeping the food in as you dribble. And you can see this is a sign of older age. Maybe you have few or no teeth left, which we mentioned in a previous verse. Could mean that, again, sign of one growing old. And the sound of the grinding mill is low. You know, you tend to eat less. You tend to have softer foods. You tend to, not have the ability to grind your food up. And maybe even having some sort of diet. So those sort of things are things as you grow older. Yes. Well, if you said the doors of the street are shut as the sound of the grinding mill is low. Grinding mill has this idea of teeth. What I've gleaned, okay, from many sources, and again, some of this I'll change too. And what can I say, okay? The sound of your teeth is not grinding like it used to be. Again, a lot of these are subject to different interpretations. But certainly these are indications of what happens to one in older age. Now, I appreciate that question, Don. And last part of that, and one will arise at the sound of the bird. Well, I think that has application to older people, that you're a light sleeper. Things tend to keep you awake at night. Call it insomnia. Betty Lou had that. She had a lot of that. And so that's another indicator of one who in older age has that. You know, when you're younger, what about sleep then? Are you awake at night? Do you tend to just fall asleep? Maybe because of the activities you've been through that day. But again, when you get older, those sort of things happen. Matter of fact, even naps in the afternoon, that sort of thing. And again, that can affect your sleep at night. So again, you tend to sleep lighter. And all the daughters of song will sing softly. It's an interesting point. They seem to sing softly. And what's that an indication of? Hearing. And again, these sort of things meant things to these people at that time. So these are indicators, okay, of one growing older. You know, sometimes, and I noticed it with my parents when they were in their 90s, they only ate twice a day. Again, that may be because of activity. You didn't need the additional energy. And then my mother also, I finally got to the point that I had to puree her food. She couldn't chew like she used to and digest. So there's things that are indicators of one's health failing and in older age, much older age. And in verse 5, furthermore, men are afraid of high places and of terrors on the road. Heights scare people when you get older. Don't fall. And that's what a good thing to do as one gets older. It's not to live in a two-story house. Because when you step down, sometimes you don't know if the step's there or not. Your brain has a glitch in it. Or again, the idea of falling. So again, these are things that Solomon sees as maybe one indicator. You may not have all of them, but certainly the ones of balance, okay? And falls and stairs. And even curbs, even 5.5-inch curbs, you may tend to not to step up on those. You may want to go and stay in flatter areas when you walk because you don't want to trip or you lose some muscle and weakness in your legs, which you mentioned in our previous verse. Now, and terrors on the road. You tend to have, when you're on the road or you're out or you're walking in a mall or somewhere at night, you may be more scared that danger's in your path. You're more apprehensive about getting in those situations. And so you're maybe afraid of injury, you may be afraid of highwaymen, maybe a lot of things that do that. But that may be, and certainly one youthful should be aware of that. But definitely when you're older. What about driving at night? So you don't want to drive at night sometimes, okay? Because you're apprehensive about your ability that you may hurt yourself or other people. And so there's things that occur when the eyes get dim, muscle reaction is not as quick as it used to be. So there are things that occur. Again, this is some of these 13 things that he has listed here. The almond tree blossoms. And when I read on this, the almond tree is apparently a white bloom. And I guess that's indication of hair changing, isn't it? Hair changing to a whiter color, which is an indicator, again, of older age. Now, the grasshopper drags himself along. Have you ever seen a grasshopper? Some drag them, some they hop. But like a praying mantis, they kind of drag themselves along as they walk. And this may indicate, you know, less flexibility you've got. One leg is stiff, you know, the way they walk. Again, this is something I guess you would have to get more information on. But it's the idea of a thing that Solomon wrote down here, something they could see at that time. And last part of that, verse 5, and the caper berry is ineffective. I looked up this, and apparently the caper berry was used to promote appetite. And it's less effective as it used to be. And so you take things, we all take medicine, one sort or another. Some take more than others for different situations in our body. But it's not unusual for an older person to have multiple pills that they take. So these are things here, again, that you would take this in their day to deal with promoting appetite. Now, for the last part of verse 5, for man goes to his eternal home, while mourners go about the street. When you go to your eternal home, here's an indicator, more direct, really, talking about death. After thee, you go through all these 13 points concerning older age. At the end of this is death. And again, that's signified by the mourners in the street at that time. Apparently, mourners did, you know, move in the street to, I guess you say, recognize the death. And so death is approaching. So it's really interesting here that finally Solomon gives way to life under the sun. And he's talking about eternal life, eternal home. So it's interesting that he brings this up at this time. You know, we live on the earth, and we should enjoy the earth. But the earth is not our eternal home. So he's bringing this to our forethought here. Again, in the previous verse, he talked about judgments. Now, in verse 6, also continuing the point, remember him before the silver cord is broken. Remember God. Remember that he controls all things by providence, that there'll be a judgment in the last day, that there's an eternal home. And remember God, him, before the silver cord is broken. And it's interesting in this verse, and a golden bowl is crushed, and a pitcher by the well is shattered, and the well at the cistern is crushed. Notice the words broken, crushed, shattered, and crushed again. This silver cord, this golden bowl, and this pitcher at the well, and the well of the cistern, were all things of value. They had purpose. They were in motion. They had works to do. But guess what? The word crushed, the word broken, the word shattered cannot be repaired, cannot be put back together. It's not useful anymore for the purpose. That's our lives, isn't it? When we die, do any more works that we can do? Can we come back to life if you live under the sun? No, you can't. So it's really an end of the works that those sort of things had. And those were valuable. Those were valuable, this silver cord and golden bowls and well, cistern. They can't, they're irreparable. So he's making a picture here that death after death, Okay? There is no going back. There is no putting the, things back in the box. So, is it sad? Yeah, it's sad. But it's also realistic for life under the sun. Life under the sun. We all have that to look forward to if we live that long, if we're granted enough days. And again, the spur here, the teaching here, is coming up, okay? Where he says, in the next verse, in verse 7, life after death. Life after death. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Death, final death. And no doubt that Solomon, of course, had read Moses' writings, and he understood the Genesis account. So maybe this is a reference to that. But again, things return back to the originator. And so death is here pictured again in those things in Genesis. Origin of the body and spirit. And then he comes back in verse 8. If you're not thinking about God, vanity of vanity, says the preacher. All is vanity. If you live a life where God is not feared, life is truly meaningless. It's truly vanity. And there awaits a judgment for one who thinks that way, has not put their trust in the judgment of God as forefront. Okay, in their lives, is doing good works. All is vanity. Any questions? Any thoughts?
I like the word remember. It brings us to the point that God says, remember the Sabbath day. To keep it holy. It's not just, oh yeah, here's a Sabbath day. It was for a purpose. I read over Psalm 119:55, remember, in order to keep your law. So it has a purpose. Remembering is looking toward doing something. And not just, oh yeah, there's a God, but what follows. There is a God in what we know about.
It is remembered. Linda makes the point. When it says remember, bring to your mind. Should that be something that is not a trivial point, okay? It's a major point to think about, to dwell on those things that you are to remember. And again, it should promote action one way or another, okay? And we can choose. God has always given us, each of us, the ability to choose. And those sort of things are nature to us, to choose. And so remember. If you forget your wedding anniversary, that's a day after. Are you going to be reminded? So it's things that to remember promotes emotions, doesn't it? Whether it's forgot or not. And again, it promotes emotions too when you do remember. Okay? And I've been in that boat. Sorry for that. But anyway, things keep going on. And anyway, now this last section, 9 through 14, is some continuing exhortation in our title for that. And that's really, exhortation is the urging to action. Urging to action. So he's going to continue this sort of things because these are action things, may I say, remember. And it's interesting in 9 and 10 here, it's this preacher's written work that he says. What did he write down? What did he preserve? What was his angle on this? And he says 7 things that he has characteristics of, 7 things that are attributes of Solomon. And these couple of verses are very informative about Solomon. And they could apply to us too. In addition to be a wise man, yeah, I understand that about you, Solomon, the preacher also taught the people knowledge. It was a teacher, and might I say a wise teacher, and the things that up to this point, and also you look at Proverbs and that sort of thing. And he pondered. He thought about it with great intensity, okay? See, the ramifications of what he says is wise. Maybe applying it to himself, at least in most cases. And he searched out. He used great effort and diligence in the things that he taught to other people. He wanted to be comprehensive in the things that he taught to others. And arrange many proverbs. Now, this is one of the proofs that you can deal with, although Solomon's not mentioned by name in the Ecclesiastes letter, but this among other points, this is one of those things that are very strong indicators that he was the author, okay, of Ecclesiastes. He arranged many proverbs. Of course, proverbs, you know, are wise teaching. And it says in 1 Kings 4:32 that he was part of 3,000 proverbs. Again, wise sayings. And a lot of those we can see in Ecclesiastes. Now, in verse 10, some of these last 6 and 7 of the attributes of this man, the preacher sought out to find delightful words. It's interesting on the word delightful. Desirable, acceptable, words of comfort. Is it not comfort to know that you have done your best in this life by living under the sun? To know that I've improved my wisdom through my years. And more than improved it, I've applied wisdom through the years. That I've taught wisdom through the years to others. And those are certainly desirable words. And maybe that's what Solomon's getting at here. That he had a purpose of what he was doing for the good of the other person. And being a king, he always thought that I don't serve myself as these capricious kings do. And once you don't care, he always thought about serving the people. Serving the ones he was in charge of, the ones he had authority over. And we saw that in some other verses. So that may be an indication of that. Delightful words. And the last part of that, to write words of truth. What's the word? Correctly. Okay? And that he would write words, if they're done correctly, that you can trust those words. That there's no fables in there. There's no half-truths. The conveyance of wisdom by this man of wisdom, okay, inspired by God. So, he means to say that everything he's written is helpful you, helps you while you live under the sun. And guess what? It'll help you in judgment also. It'll help you in judgment for the eternal life that you have. So man of wisdom, through verse 10. Now, so the last part, in we'll be getting to that in a moment, but in 11 and 12, discerning worthwhile wisdom, discerning worthwhile wisdom. Well, I kind of broke that down some other words. He's showing great insight and a quality of judgment on his part. Again, he's went through all the negatives. Now he's saying what we should do now. And here's the basis for doing things now. To deal with judgment. To deal with applied wisdom. And to be a worthwhile teaching. In verse 11, the words of wise men are like goads, and masters of these collections are like well-driven nails. They are given by one shepherd. There's a lot in these verses. We've heard the word goads before. It's apparently a pointed stick that you would prod cattle with. Okay, and it was certainly wasn't a, you know, here, move along slowly. This was a pointed stick. It had a definite purpose to prod you along, okay? And even to drive you along, and also to give you no other path. This is the way I want you to go, and I'm going to inflict some corrective action on you with this pointed stick. So that's these wise words. That's these words of truth that he's written. These things have a purpose to understand, a purpose to apply, a purpose you shouldn't disregard. My wise words, how you live under the sun. And again, the and masters of these collections are like well-driven nails. You know, I don't know if you've done any carpenter work, but sometimes you're hitting a nail and the head of it bends over, okay? Or you get it angled. Well, a well-driven nail does what? It holds firm, doesn't it? It's got a definite purpose. It's to be trusted for its ability to hold firm. So and that's what this idea of teaching wisdom has in its mind. You can trust this. And they are given by one shepherd. Shepherd is a connotation that they are sheep and shepherd. One shepherd leads. Leads not over the cliff. He leads you to water. Leads you to green pastures. The shepherd cares about you. And these are these words of wisdom, as he's explaining here. And I take it this is to be God. God who gave each person a spirit and gave Solomon the wisdom that he had. So he's not multiple sources of wisdom, but one shepherd. One person who can guide you to do those good works. Now, and verse 12, chapter 12. But beyond this, my son, probably not Rehoboam, it could be just a learner or a pupil, just a general term, my son, be warned. The writing of many books is endless, and excessive devotion to books is wearying to the body. If one is seeking wisdom and one is, quote unquote, an intellectual and one has the time or doesn't have the time, they want to seek all the wisdom they can. But guess what? You can read a lot of books that are absolutely useless. In other words, it's a waste of time when you get away from the book that the one shepherd wrote. Those books of wisdom. And it certainly can be wearying to you because you spend a lot of time trying to find these things, whether it's those great religions, quote unquote, of the Orient, China, others in the world. You can waste your time on those. And guess what? How much time do you have under the sun? Not that much. So you certainly waste your time. Now, I'm not against a binge watching of TV. What I'm saying, be careful sometimes. Say, well, what am I doing? I've been looking at this these YouTubes for 3 hours. Boy, it went by fast. Okay, what did I learn? I learned people do stupid things, okay, and harmful things to their body. But see, be careful of that. And again, he's warning these sons that he's been with. Now, verse 13, the bottom line, the conclusion, chapter 12, 13, and 14. The bottom line for everyone under the sun. The bottom line for those people in Christ's day, people for today, and even to the end of time. The conclusion, when all has been heard, is that how we communicate? When you read, you're hearing what you're reading, but you hear from others, things you hear. against sound words that you hear, things of wisdom. And is, fear God and keep His commandments, because this applies to every person. You can fear God by His providence that could come your way. You can fear God by respecting that He is the Creator, that by providence He controls the weather, controls the times of war, and controls the day of your death, if He chooses. That's great power, the Creator, one who knows all, the one who is omni in all things. So, fear God and keep His commandments. Because this applies to every person. This applies to people who know who the Creator is, and people who don't know who the Creator is, because judgment falls on all. If ones who don't know what the Creator is, and they've heard brief things about it, but they never investigated it, judgment's going to come their way. And shame on us. If we know things and we haven't investigated them or made the changes in our lives, even though we should, judgment will come our way. But life under the sun, you have time to change. And isn't that good? And isn't that good? That our past problems, trespasses, sins, misjudgments, things that hurt other people, things that misled other people to sin, if we repent, they can be forgiven. And judgment come our way. Okay? And the eternalness of that. And the last part in verse 14. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. Seen or unseen, secret or not, hidden or not hidden, whether it's good or evil. Under the sun, sometimes evil was thought to be a bad decision, okay? But because it's compared to good and evil here, I believe it's sin. Those things where judgment will come upon you for your life under the sun, your few years. So it's a great admonition for us to remember that. Fear and keep His commandments. We have a standard. A standard with, again, a capital S. And that's the things that Solomon's trying to get across in these verses in Ecclesiastes. In Ecclesiastes, we know that he began the book with some great questions in the first chapter. And in verse 3 he said, what advantage does man have in all his work, all his efforts on this earth, which he does under the sun? And he began the book by saying, okay, in verse 2, the answer to that was, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. No profit, no advantage. If this is all there is, if this is all there is, then why do we even do what we do? Can we have no morals? Sin means nothing. Accumulation of wealth and greed can be the watchword on my life. I can live a life of jealousy. I can live a life of great anxieties about things I don't have or don't possess. I can live a life where, knowing that the great things I've accumulated in this life, my next generation will destroy it. They won't appreciate what I've done to put this together. In other words, my life is meaningless. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. So that was the great question. Great question that he wanted everyone to ponder throughout the ages, and what God wants us to ponder today. How is our life going? What should we be doing for this short time here? You know, our life is maybe a handful of sand. But we can grasp what eternity is. If I take every grain of sand in the whole world and counted every one of those grains of sand above the earth, in the ocean, under the earth, still doesn't approach eternity. We can grasp that infinity to a degree. And so isn't this short life here worth it? Because judgment come by our Creator. So those are things of the book of Solomon. And things to know about his imparted wisdom to us. To live life, and enjoy life every day, whatever circumstances you're in. I'm not saying that sadness isn't going to come. I'm not saying that great anxieties are not going to come. I'm not saying that great disappointments are going to come. But you can survive them by being optimistic in life. If you live a life of pessimism, yeah, there'll be a harm from that. So just things about government, families, churches you're at, whatever it is, do the best you can. All right, that's chapter 12. And that's the end of the book. Now, I want to review a minute. Got a whole 5 minutes. Is that right? Okay. Ecclesiastes can teach us some lessons. And from the beginning, he talked about vanity of vanities. And that this author, this man Solomon, who again is called a preacher throughout this because he preaches, okay? He talks to others. And that's the way to communicate. Preach, teach. And he did it again by written method here. And again, in of your review questions on page 54, the words of the book are used to describe the author. And we can know that in one of the verses, he called himself the son of David. That's an indicator that it was Solomon doing the writing. There was a king in Jerusalem. A couple of times he said that. We talked already about the great wisdom granted to him in 1 Kings chapter 3 and chapter 10 by God. There's another indicator in the verses that he talks about women and the snares that they can bring in one's life. Hard snares because of the allurement of women and distractions of women. No doubt his exposure to many hundreds of women might be another indicator that he was the author of this Ecclesiastes. And like we just said, that he arranged many Proverbs. So those are indicators that it was Solomon that was the author of these scriptures. And even if it wasn't, these are still preserved by us with great confidence that they are from the mind of God. And there's wisdom locked up and an application for all of us, okay? One way or another inside the book of Ecclesiastes. And again, it's wisdom for all time. Wisdom for all time. That might be why the word God in Ecclesiastes was never Yahweh. is a generic word for God. So it has application to everyone, to a sense. Okay? Whatever religion you're under, it believes in some higher being. We've already talked about the viewpoint of Ecclesiastes written from life under the sun. It's physical life. And again, it's a short life. And we talked about the word vanity. What does it mean? It means worthless efforts, fruitless efforts, futile efforts. And again, maybe another word could be not useful. Not useful for what? Useful to make our life better, a better moral life. A life that will be one day, okay, where we're accountable, okay, to our Creator. Ain't got I got a minute left? Okay. Conclude, I guess. It's been a good 3-month lessons here. And I certainly pray and wish and hope that we've gained some knowledge about vanity of life, about the worthful and worthless parts of life, that we can have joy, enjoyment, that we can apply the wisdom that we've seen in here about whether God's power, that we don't have the power that He has. We don't have the knowledge that God has, and we shouldn't strive for it. We strive for those things, okay, that we can understand. We are not deity. So that's the teaching of the Course. I appreciate it if you make application this life, okay, and knowing that life is good, life is healthy, and God controls things by providence. Thank you all very much.